Hello and welcome to Bounty Hunt, a weekly breakdown of the latest episodes of Star Wars television, brought to you by the Utini Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jacob, joined by my good friends, Oz and Emmy. This week, we're diving in on the penultimate episode of The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 14, Flash Strike, to give you our in-depth reactions and analysis. This week, we are brought to you by Discord, the Utini Discord server. Head on over to utini.com/discord to get all joined up with that and join our amazing community. But with that out of the way, let's jump into the show. Oz and Emmy, how are y'all doing? Emmy, thank you for having... We got another great repeat guest this season, so we're happy to have you with us this evening.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here, especially for the penultimate episode, so that I can say that word at least like four times in this entire show.
Yeah.
It was a very good episode.
I feel like that is everyone's favorite big word because
it really is.
Everyone knows what it means, but like it doesn't sound super pretentious because there's no other word for it. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do second to last, but that just doesn't hit the same.
Right. No, not at all.
But yeah, I am doing all right myself, ready for this penultimate recording of this version of Bounty Hunt.
Yeah, you know, not be gone for long. You might have noticed in me reading off names, listener, that JG is not here. Our good friend is at a concert, I believe, so he'll be joining us back next week for the ultimate episode of Bounty Hunt for the season, the ultimate episode of The Bad Batch as a series. Pardon my nasally voice as I am working through a bit of a cold here, but we are getting into this issue Flash episode, comics and running a comics podcast and a TV show podcast at the same time for serialized things.
The amount of times on Cosmic Force one of us has said episode. is a lot.
It drains my brain. But here we are for Flash Strike. We are almost there. The batch is arriving on Wayland, so let's just jump into the action. We get on over the planet, and Rampart and Hunter and Wrecker are detaching from, and Crosshair are detaching from the ship and gliding in as Echo is trying to make his way through the science vessel on approach. However, the Imperials have detected them, they're coming in hot onto Wayland.
Yeah, real quick, so you just listed more people than you thought at first were going to be on that ship, but do we know where Gonki is or the dog, Batcher?
I don't remember.
That's so true.
Gonki got saved.
Wrecker saved Gonki.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
He didn't bring him along.
So I'm trying to remember how they got off that planet to begin with. My mind is not here today.
I think they're just back on Pabu, maybe.
Yeah, but they're chilling.
Yeah.
Which Batcher would have been a help because we see a lot of Batcher's old buddies on this planet. That would have been cool to see her.
Right, for sure.
Jump right into the action, getting to Tantus, or getting near Mount Tantus at least.
Yes, which I think is, you know, we had Jared on, I think, last week or the week before. Very reminiscent of sort of the, Legends adventures on Wayland in the Thrawn trilogy, where they are landing way away from the mountain and have to make their way through the forest, which is also filled with danger, to infiltrate Mount Tantus. So kind of reminiscent here. I think I just kind of want to go with one of my favorite, most weird, interesting parts of this episode, and that was Echo's role in this part of the mission, because Echo... You know, he does the classic, he looks at the storm, he takes out a stormtrooper, he looks at the armor, is like, I guess I'm throwing that on. And my first thought was, okay, well, what is he going to do with the hand, with the scomp link? And at first he just has it just, you know, no glove, sitting out there raw. And then he takes out a protocol droid and throws the protocol droid hand onto his scomp link, which begs the question, is the interior of every protocol droid hand... scomp accessible?
I had the exact same thought. And obviously the answer is like no one knows because they just
probably
need
not
a hand.
But yeah.
Yeah. He could have just rigged it.
I thought the visual of him as a stormtrooper with his scomp leg out was hilarious. And then he put the hand on and like the running bit of that was maybe the funniest thing in this whole show to me. I don't know why that did it for me so good. But it was also funny that he finally put on stormtrooper armor. I know that he wasn't part of the rescue. Oh, no, he was. But like, remember,
there have been times where it would have made sense.
Last week, especially, they could have not worn their hyper unique armor. But now he's finally blending in and doing a great job at it, wearing a robot hand.
Right. And does, I don't, I didn't notice like did the hand work, or is it just kind of?
It seemed to just be like
be there. That's what I thought.
Looks only, yeah.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, because now you know. Now I'm thinking, like, could I just throw a C-3PO's hand on R2-D2 and just for funds?
That,
like,
yeah,
I mean,
Mr.
that
Potato
option?
Head. Yeah,
that is exactly what I thought of, because I was playing with one last week with my son, and yeah, 100%.
You can just say you were playing with it by yourself. That's, you know, no judgment.
He wasn't even playing with it, to be honest. I was trying to get him to, and then I just ended up dressing up Potato Head.
Well, I know they have a Darth Vader Potato Head, I think. Anyways, back to the Bad Batch. So that's kind of Echo's role. He's just, I don't know, chilling on the ship, trying to get in. But yeah, meanwhile, the rest of the Batch and Rampart are making their way through the forest after doing a bit of a unscheduled drop from their shuttle. They do a little rappelling and then dropping off of it. I saw, this is, you know, a great podcast technique. I'm going to describe a meme. And it was, I think it was a Kiner account that posted the clip from the Pixar movie Luca of them throwing the child in the in the water. And I believe that is referencing now Hunter yeeting Rampart into the forest.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, the Kiners and Jennifer Corbett in particular, every
they just
week,
do,
it posts like memes with redacted on it, so like they're sort of spoilers out of context. I never really go back. I rarely go back and see, like, oh, okay, what were they talking about? But they're always good at hyping up big events that are about to happen. And yeah, that's totally what that is. Also, shout out Luca, underappreciated movie.
It's a great movie.
It is. It's a good one.
But yeah, so
was awesome. That, like, first off, Rampart is such a good little doofus heel in this, kind of like a useful idiot to them, and every step of the way, him like, I'm not jumping out of that. They're like, all right, well, then you're just going to crash.
Right.
And then his thing doesn't work. But then they have this cool Tarzan sequence that was really neat.
Yeah. And like, he clearly, I mean, this whole time since they've sprung him from prison, he has not wanted to be involved for obvious reasons. But like, even to the point where if this mission went as they originally planned, which Bad Batch missions ever do, he would not even be here. They probably would have like got the coordinates from him, dropped him off on some whatever planet for him to get away, but he has kind of just been trapped with him this entire time.
Yeah, and I don't know if he really has an end game. Like, I think ideally he would love to be welcomed back to the Empire, but there's no way that happens.
Yeah, I kept thinking that during the episode, because part of me was like, why would he not just run toward the stormtroopers and be like, sort of play as a prisoner and try to gain the Empire's like sympathy? But then I was like, wait, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I think he's just like, kind of in survival mode.
Hey guys, I brought you the Bad Batch, like, this was my plan all along.
Kirk,
I think that, you know, Hemlock or Vader or Tarkin or someone would come and be like, no, you're gone, bye.
I think it's like a kind of a Thrawn-esque moment, going back to his role in the Senate last season, where I don't know if he has the political acumen to kind of like make a winning scenario out of this for him. I think he is just kind of strapped in and trying to make it through. I think he probably knows the Empire does not have his back, even if he was to help them out. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. Someone asked today, like, was Rampart always such a coward? And because he kind of seems like a badass in season two, but it's really just because he, you know, worked his way up and has this job where he gets to command soldiers to do his bidding. We don't actually see him do anything cool on his own. I haven't watched season two in a while, but like, his power solely comes from the badge he wears, and without it, now he's totally weak.
For sure. I mean, he's very much like middle manager imperial. Like, he's like, I will have my ship fire on this city, or I will have people create this enlistment program, but I'm not actually doing any of the real like nitty-gritty work myself.
Is Cyril from Andor?
Cyril at least has, I think, ambitions and aspirations to do that.
That's a good point.
True.
So, but yeah, I really liked his character. He, you know, he does end up getting a little tussle with Oz, kind of teaser earlier, some wildlife on Tantus. And since I'm running back, screaming in tones I was not expecting from his character.
Yeah.
To be entirely
yeah,
honest.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we know what that thing was?
No. I don't.
At first, when he leaned up on it, I was like, oh shit, it's the Zilla Beast. It was not, but then
yeah,
later.
Yeah, I thought that too, and then was like kind of surprised that it wasn't, just because, I don't know, I feel like Dave indulges himself a lot, and
yes,
this
we
would
do
have
know
been
what
a big
it's
indulgence.
According to the Wikipedia, as always, they're called a Dryax, which I think was the thing that attacked Batcher when they were trying to leave initially.
Oh, okay.
So, yes.
Well, thank you for figuring that one out.
You got it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think at the same time, like, there's a little bit of indulgence, but like the Zilla Beast is like that one dangling plot thread for, it's been, what, 15 years?
Mm-hmm. And we will get to that.
Yeah. So I think it fit that it came back here. A lot of people were predicting it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that in a second, obviously.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really recall so we have the showdown with this beast, Rampart escapes. Did the rest of the Bad Batch really do much of anything, or were they kind of left unresolved?
I don't think we see them, because they're running away as well.
Right.
Rampart runs into
the Empire.
Yeah, the Imperials. And I guess they're just still making their way in.
Yeah, I know, like, Wrecker got yeeted against the tree, and I was, like, legit scared. I'm like, oh, they are going to take him out. Because I know he's been a character that has been predicted to not live this season. So I was a little concerned there. Obviously, he's going to make it to the finale, because they wouldn't do it now. But, like,
having him get taken out by nature would be wild.
Yeah, yeah, truly. I felt the same thing, and I was like, as soon as they like picked him up and he had any amount of life in him, I was so happy. I got the life back in me.
we did get to see that thing, the Dryak, take out a stormtrooper pretty good. I mean, like, it cut away as he was stomping him, but that dude dead.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we have all these kind of characters left somewhat unresolved, or, you know, they're in progress, mission in progress. But Echo, he's getting back into Tantus. The science vehicle has landed. Hemlock has ordered a, like, lockdown and thorough search. Not that thorough, unfortunately for him, though, because Echo is able to get out and just kind of waltz out of the hangar. And from there, he is able to get his way into the main laboratory we've seen throughout the season and meet up with Emery, his sister.
I loved that moment, because I knew that his cover was going to be blown the second he spoke. I thought it was kind of funny he didn't even try to put on an accent. I would have loved to hear Dee Bradley Baker do an impression of a Kiwi putting on a different accent. But she even like picked him for Echo, which was pretty interesting.
Yes,
she was like, "I know who you are," and we've been expecting her, I think, this whole time to come around.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, you know, help them win, help Omega get saved.
Right.
That seems to be where she's going.
Yeah. Yeah. I was also surprised that she, yeah, again, sniped that it was specifically Echo there. I guess, I mean, if she noticed something was weird with his hand, that probably would have helped. but yeah, I really liked the interaction between the two of them, especially kind of seeing, one, how Emery and Omega have interacted this season, but also how Omega and Echo have interacted, because they're obviously, their moments have been fewer, but I think they really worked well for those characters.
Yeah, you can definitely see Echo, to me, like, we talked about last time I was on the show, I have kind of like made like a speed run of the Bad Batch over the last month or so. But to me, he's the one that I know the least about. Like, we see him the least, I feel like. And so, like, this moment really shows how much he cares about Omega. And then for him to be sort of the straw that breaks the camel's back with Emery, to her, like, kind of finally tipping her hand, that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And yeah, so I really like those moments. They are seemingly going to try and help Omega. Well, I mean, obviously Echo is, but Emery is seemingly game to do what she can to help Omega out.
Yeah. And now, so speaking of Omega, we haven't even really talked about what's going on in the vault. One of my favorite moments was early on when they arrive and she's like, oh, that's laser fire. They found me. And one of the kids is like, who? And she says, my brothers. Just like she's been so confident this whole time. And it pays off for her. I love, you know, she loves seeing a plan come together, right?
Yeah, that was a good moment.
I appreciate we made an A-team joke before we started recording, so Oz, I do appreciate the quote there.
Was that an A-team quote?
Yeah, I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh, that is A-team. You're right. That was. I mean, yes, I did that on purpose.
Yeah, totally.
Bad. If you could just cut that part out, and then it'll sound like I nailed it.
Great one.
That's just such like a permanent pop culture thing now, because the A-team predates all three of us by a fair bit.
Hey, I saw the like reboot movie that came out like the 2010s.
Yeah, I did not.
It was all right. Anyways, so Omega, she is crawling through the walls in this one.
Yeah, man, the Empire's got to step up their security.
It's pretty bad.
It's always been like that. Obi-Wan sneaking around the Death Star, you know. But they clearly don't have any sort of cameras or monitoring on the underside of their ship, because a whole ass other ship just attached itself to it. They didn't see it. Omega's crawling through who knows what, and she's not detected. But also, her cell is very clearly empty.
Yeah.
There's two little side cubbies she could be in.
It's like, oh.
Yeah.
You'd think they would have a camera in their cell.
Or audio recording equipment in the tables when they're plotting or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's like, do you think Omega's just been standing in like the 4 square foot little side of her room that is not immediately visible from upstairs? Is that what you think's been happening for like 20 minutes?
Clearly. But it works for her. Also, she got back quick.
Yes. I was like, there's no way. And then she was like,
editing, but
yeah.
It really reminded me, like, with her, she's like flying through the walls. There are these like three dimensional mini elevators taking just like samples back and forth. It reminded me of Revenge of the Sith and like the elevator scene on the Invisible Hand at like the very beginning, just kind of like back and forth and stuff flying around. A little less, it's not going to kill you probably, but
she was confident, like, that she knew where she was going, because when those things were, you know, zooming past, I was kind of worried that, you know, one might get in her way, but
go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. I was going to say, I've been playing Jedi Fallen Order for the first time lately, and I have been killed by so many elevators and like things that go so fast, and I have to like force them to stop or whatever.
Yeah.
I did not have Omega's abilities in that game.
Well, when you get to the next game, you will no longer have the ability to slow things down, so good luck.
Oh, good. Thanks.
That force power magically disappears.
That's so funny. Didn't even think about that, but...
Yep. Anyways, so, more about while she's crawling through the wall, she's, I guess, just kind of looking around, maybe trying to find an exit, but she eventually stumbles on something a little bit more interesting, and that is the Zillow Beast. You might recall that we had like a baby Zillow Beast that they brought to Tantus, I believe, last season. It is full grown now. They are doing the science experiments on it. And they, you know, Omega, I think, is hatching her plan, potentially. I don't know if what we all think collectively, to let that Zillow Beast go loose and wreck a mountain.
Yeah, it's going to do some damage. I don't think we will learn about it next episode, but I want to know kind of what the plan was with the Zillow Beast, because that just seems like one of those risk-reward scenarios that wasn't smart having him around.
My assumption was always that they were trying to, synthetically, like, recreate its armor, because it's blaster-proof.
Or a blaster.
I mean, probably both. I think they try both and it doesn't work. So that is my assumption, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, it's going to get out, and Omega's probably going to write it like it's season 8 of Game of Thrones. It's going to be awesome.
Does she have like a bunch of battle braids by the end of it, or?
Yeah, I mean, she's already got one braid, I think, or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. I guess you're all right. It is also lightsaber proof because Kylo Ren went inside one to kill it. So, shout out Age of Resistance,
Kylo Ren. Yeah.
So, but yeah, the Zilbeast is just chilling there. It is kind of a cool callback to the Clone Wars episodes because they had to use like some ATTE mounted like laser thing to get it to chill out, and they have a little turret that's doing a similar thing to it now. So but yeah, it's could potentially be a very explosive finale, we'll say.
I think that goes without saying.
Regardless of what happens with the Zilbeast, probably an explosive finale,
definitely.
I love that. So while Omega's crawling around, the kids are left back, and before she leaves, she's, you know, we talked about how she's leading this new little bad batch, this little mini batch, and they're now the Omegas, because when we first meet her, she doesn't know how to be a soldier, but now she's very confidently leading them, and she's like, I need y'all to cover me, and one of them, I don't remember which one, says, like, cover you? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll figure it out, and
yeah.
She's the new hunter.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I was like, because like one of them's like, I'm hungry or whatever. The other's like, I am not feeling well. And then Jax tries to get to jump the line. I saw like a meme on Twitter, like someone that like did a little drawing. It's like a drawing of all the little kids, and they're like how kids would actually stall in real life. And everyone's like, I shit myself.
Yeah, the child care situation, because like we don't see them like really get fed or we see them eat.
Yeah,
child care, they get to play games. I love that the little one, the new one, I don't remember what its name is, but was like building a tower and then intentionally knocked it over and just
yeah,
like that. Someone on the animation team has a toddler for sure.
Because, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it's actually a foreshadowing for what the Zilbeast is going to do next episode. Believe it or not. So.
Or that kid. Well, the kid's force sensitive. So
yeah, they're connected. Yeah, and I also just like with the childcare thing. Just imagining, hey, you know, again, well, not even imagining, like that Pantoran girl's like, sorry, you are watching after this baby now. It cannot function by itself, so you're the ones gonna have to haul it around, you know, the 20 feet back to its room every day.
For real, they were like, let's give this literal baby to these other like 9-year-olds, it'll be fine.
And like, again, just like going back to like the whole like security and watching them, like you could stick a droid in there just to like, you know, at least bury that.
And
that kid
droids
back
are
and forth.
Very much a thing.
Yeah
but
hey, it's fine. Any other thoughts on the whole Omega vault situation?
Not on Omega. One thing we didn't really talk about, because we sort of breezed through the main Bad Batch characters, but there was a great moment. Probably my favorite part of the episode was Tech and Rampart talking. And Rampart kind of brings up, you know, you used to say good soldiers follow orders.
Crosshair, right? Yeah.
That's what I meant. Obviously not Tech.
Yeah, not Tech.
CX was not in this episode, aka Tech. And Crosshair, who used to, was just like blindly following orders. He said it depends on who's giving them. And then they have a little back and forth, and Rampart says, you're like me, you're loyal to no one but yourself. And Crosshair just goes, I've changed. I'm like, damn, they really sold me on Crosshair, who earlier in the episode they were like, why'd you even come back? He's like, because Omega could have left me, but she didn't, and I owe her. He's a totally different guy than he was 10 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone through a lot. Yeah. But, hey, you know, he survived the ice planet. He became the Raven or whatever, and or Vulture, you know, coming all full circle.
Yeah, is this a Game of Thrones reference as well?
No, it's like there's the little bird.
Yeah, I was just...
I guess the three-eyed raven, if that's what you're... no. Anyways, any other thoughts on the episode we haven't touched on yet?
No, it was a pretty like light one, despite like it doing a lot of work to set up for the finale.
Yeah, we're putting all the pieces in the right place to mm-hmm. have a big explosive finale for sure.
Right.
I guess. What do y'all think about JG's prediction that we're going to get like an hour long finale?
I would love that. I cannot imagine it'll be longer than 35 minutes. I'm just being pessimistic.
Yeah. This was something I know at the end we'll do predictions, so I was going to talk about that. But yeah, JG is convinced we'll get an hour or more finale.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it being long. The premiere episode of The Bad Batch was basically three episodes in length. It was like 71 minutes, so not quite three full episodes. It's possible. I think that's the only time they've done that, other than the Clone Wars movie, obviously.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's really just four episodes smashed together. So we'll see. It does feel like there's enough time, but we'll talk about what is left.
For sure. Yeah, we definitely have a lot of ground to cover, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, this episode is brought to you by the Youtini Discord server. If you want to hang out with a bunch of like-minded fans in the community, check out youtini.com/discord to get the invite. And special notice for this episode, or this podcast, we will be hosting a live season finale recording for The Bad Batch next Wednesday. I guess that's the 1st of May at 8:30 Eastern time. So if you want to do that, you can hop in and listen to us live. You can even ask some live questions on air. Think of it like a radio show. We will be doing that in Discord. Hop in youtini.com/discord if you haven't joined already. And join the fun. It should be a lot of good time. And hopefully, you know, it's something we can do maybe more in the future as we get more television series. But yeah, utini.com/discord. Thanks again for sponsoring this show. All right. We are getting into our kind of final wrap-up predictions, questions. One last time to clown, because there's no episodes after this one. So... nothing to predict.
No, but next week we can clown about what the next animated show
this
is.
This is so true. Yeah. Well, or
that's
we can do that
be a happy episode.
With Tales of the Empire. We'll get there.
Yeah.
But I'm stealing some content from the Discord. One of our community members, Doodleboy, posted a nice like rundown of questions of like what people think are going to happen in the last episode. And we're just going to kind of run through it as a show and see, you know, what's going to happen there. Or what we think will happen. So first one up is what members of the batch will die to save Omega and the other prisoners? Is anyone going down in the next episode? And also, I'll extend that beyond the batch, like is Emery or someone like that as well.
I hope so badly that none of the batch dies. But if anyone does, I could see it being Crosshair. More than anyone else, I feel like it would like fully complete his redemption arc.
Yeah, I don't think any of the batch are going to die. Crosshair makes the most narrative sense because Star Wars, like you said, it's the end of the redemption arc. That's kind of how every Star Wars redemption arc ends,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of tiring at times. It's like, I want to see them get redeemed and then go on and live with their mistakes and, you know, keep working to be a better person. With the clones, it opens a whole can of worms because it's like, well, what are they doing for the next 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
But we've already seen Tech sacrifice himself. I don't think Wrecker and Hunter really makes sense. I mean, I any of them could lay down their life for Omega, but I think right. They all survive. Emery, maybe not. I think Hemlock's gone too, which I think is a later question, but that's right. Not in helping them.
Yeah, I personally do not think Crosshair is going down. I think Oz is right. That I know a lot of people, especially the Raylo community specifically, are very over characters having to sacrifice themselves to redeem themselves in the narrative. And I don't think the scale of what Crosshair has done really necessitates that you have to get rid of him. Like, Darth Vader, like, yeah, you cannot function, like, he does not function in the universe after he comes back to the light side, like, realistically. Crosshair, I think, can stick around. And you're not forced to get rid of him. So we'll see. I
think the one thing on that is that, like, at least we have seen Crosshair continue on. Like,
yeah.
Because Kylo and Vader both, especially, like, they died 5 seconds later.
Right.
Yeah.
I could see Hunter going, just because, like, you know, he's always been the main, like, dad of the Dad Batch, and, like, protecting, you know, Omega has been it's been everyone's, like, responsibility, but it's something that seems like he's cared about way more than everyone and taken way more personally. So I could see him going down, but I would not like to see it happen. But that, I would guess, if I had to pick one, I think it's gonna be Hunter.
All right, a little bit sad either way.
Yeah.
So next one, who is Clone Assassin X2? And I'll throw in there, are we even going to get an answer to that at all?
Well, my first answer is I don't care who he is. Like, this one is not even on my radar anymore. And I wouldn't be shocked if we don't see him again. I think we will, because I think there's a role for him in this escape situation. But I hope he's nobody. I'm going totally back on my Merrick situation, that I'm still frustrated about Merrick. but CX2, just a clone.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think I wouldn't be upset at all if he doesn't even show up in the finale. I think that was, like, a fun part of speculation earlier in the season, but at this point it doesn't feel as urgent or important.
Yeah, I think if we were going to get, like, some momentous reveal, he would have played a role, like a larger role, in the past two episodes, where he's been pretty absent lately. So I think it'd be weird to have him play a big role, disappear, and then come back like, oh, remember this guy?
Yeah, the mm-hmm. moment where he almost killed, it was Crosshair, right? That he, or Crosshair drowned it. That fight, that moment would have made sense for a reveal or shortly after. But now it doesn't feel like it the story needs that.
Right. I agree. So we're undecided. Yeah. It could just be no one. It could be, I don't know. But yeah, we'll see.
All right. So far we're on fire with our cloning. No one's going to die. No one in CX2.
Yeah. We're very.
Nothing's going to happen in the next episode.
Very lukewarm takes across the board. We need someone to spice it up. JG.
Yeah. This is where we need JG.
Yeah. JG is at a concert right now having fun. If he was here, he thinks that they're all going to die, and specifically that the Death Star is going to do it. So I want to be sure he's represented here.
Yeah. Next one up, what is Palpatine making exactly? The Zillow Beast is unsurprising given what we saw in the Clone Wars. What is, like, the end goal? Yeah. What's the end goal there with the Zillow Beast, I'll say?
I think, one thing that he's always interested in is anti-force stuff. I don't remember from the Clone Wars if the Zillow Beast is at all force resistant, but there is the lightsaber
block. I don't think it is. I think someone actually, like, calms it down with the force at some point.
Which, one of my thoughts was when we were talking about how the new little furry guy is force sensitive. Maybe he, because in the past, whenever there's, you know, an animal threat, Ezra or Ahsoka, someone comes in and calms the animal down. So maybe we see the new guy calm down the Zillow Beast, which would be kind of shocking.
I'm Grogu here for it.
I guess in the second episode of Mando.
I was about to say that would be extremely Grogu.
Yeah. I mean, Grogu needs a buddy. Anyway, as for what Palpatine wants, Jacob, I know we just talked about the Thrawn Alliance's comic.
Yes.
Which does not make it to this scene.
The Cortosis armor?
Yeah, so a big plot in that book is they're basically making clone armor that is lightsaber resistant.
Mm-hmm.
So this feels adjacent to that. I don't think that the writers of this are necessarily considering that book.
Right.
But it feels like the same MO from Palpatine.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, that one was much more directly and overtly, like, we want clones to have lightsaber resistant armor so they can, like, absolutely just, like, go easy mode on the Order 66 thing, which doesn't end up happening. This one, I think, is more just, well, if we have if we can, you know, genetically recreate this armor, we can either have, yeah, better clone or stormtrooper armor, or maybe some way to enhance their vehicles or something. I think it's just like a, well, this is another fun Tarkin Initiative style military project.
Yeah, and Palpatine also, he just likes experimenting and collecting stuff. That's Luke's mission in the Battlefront 2 campaign, is he's going around to like Palpatine's old treasure troves and finding stuff. So this is just another thing that like he wants power over.
For sure.
So I don't know if there's going to be another lukewarm take. I don't know if this is going to be a big, this is what the Zillow's for reveal.
Right. The next one is, will Project Necromancer be sabotaged in some way? I think I've been saying for a couple weeks now that I think it will be set back pretty significantly. However, whatever findings they make will be eventually kind of shepherded along to Exegol / Moff Gideon.
Yeah.
I think it'll be, you know, obviously we know that things progress past this, but I think JG has said this a couple times too, but I think this is just sort of a bump in the road for Project Necromancer.
Mm-hmm. And again, that we know they have not got, they have not worked out all the wrinkles by the time Dathan is cloned in a couple of years from now. So, you know.
Reminder to normal people listening to this, Dathan,
his
father, who is a strand cast clone of Palpatine himself.
But not force sensitive, importantly.
Right. But yeah, so we know that this continues on, but it's Star Wars. Like, the Batch has to get some sort of victory, even if there's like a stinger of like, oh, but it's not fully over.
For sure.
So yeah, there'll be some hitch in Necromancer. Team will adapt as he always does.
Yeah, I threw this one in. This is not a Doodle Boy original. But who's in the tube? Will we get that answer? And, you know, this is your last chance to clown at what they could be cloning.
I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember the tube anymore at this point. It feels like, when was the last time we even saw it?
It was like episode 2 or something. Yeah. Or no, because 2 was the cutaway. Episode 3, I think, of the series when Sidious or Palpatine visits.
Okay, yeah, I want to go, I'm going to rewatch that this week and see. But I was gung-ho a couple months ago on this being a major plot point of the season. And I've got egg on my face once again for that, because I had like a list of 5, which just got very clowny by the end. Asajj was an easy one. Voss, neither of those happened. And I don't think it's Voss.
Mm-hmm.
Grogu, I don't think will happen, but it makes sense. Barriss obviously was on the list.
Probably not on the list anymore.
Like, yeah, and so yeah, maybe it's an attempted clone in there. I have no idea. Emmy, do you have any thoughts?
Not specifically on that. I agree. Like this is again a lukewarm take, but I don't know. I feel like we just don't have. I feel like it just doesn't even. It's probably not even going to come up at this point. There's too much other ground to cover
at
this point.
If the Zill Beast is like going ham on the facility, maybe it like just busts all these tanks open, and that's kind of how we find it out.
Right. So that's kind of exactly what I was about to say, is that like maybe as the facility gets destroyed, we see it break open, and then who or whatever is in there escape. And that's sort of our story for another time tease, whether that's, you know, a future show or just something cool or it's nothing.
My like 2 guesses are probably it's just straight up Palpatine. They're trying it already, just off rip. The other one is way more clowny, and that is that they are going to just bring Sabaoth from the Heir to the Empire trilogy into canon with all the Thrawn stuff they're doing. So this is how they're like, you know, Oz, you're saying like this is your future story. It'll be a Sabaoth clone that escapes into the woods, and it will be relevant for the Ahsoka-ish stories later.
If that tank busts open and it's an old man with a
six pack, yeah.
Oh my God. We will promise to have Jared on for a follow up episode.
I'll go to like a Legends Look Back live stream and drop like a $50 super chat.
Yeah. That is clowny as hell, and I could see that on
It'd
the
be so
table.
ridiculous.
I think maybe also on the table, not likely, would be could be Dathan. I know that it doesn't line up with the timeline, but I think
I
they
mean,
could change that.
I did just say Palpatine clones, and I mean, that is,
Right. So, like,
yeah.
whether it's Dathan 1.0 or actual Daddy Dathan, which
Right.
I never want to say that again.
Or Snoke. Still could always be Snoke.
Yeah, we don't know anything about Snoke, so it could be. Actually, that would make
Yeah.
a lot of
That'd be
sense.
weird. That would be super
If
weird.
it was Snoke, we would have to like he can't get out and go on his own because he. But maybe like Palpatine comes in and he's like, you need to save the tube, and then we see him go back to the Death Star. I guess that's not built yet. Go back to Coruscant, and he's got baby Snoke. It's like baby Groot, but Snoke.
All right, one last question from Doodle Boy. What will happen to Hemlock and Rampart in the finale?
Rest in peace, buddy.
Yeah, I
I think both of
yeah.
those. I don't know. I could see Rampart getting out. I mean, not on his own volition. I could see him making it out, and I think he's too low dollar of a turncoat for them to care that much about him. I think they've got bigger things going on. But Hemlock is he's effed, man. He's done.
Yeah.
The batch kills him, or he's made a sacrifice of because he failed. I think those are his only two options.
Yeah, I think they both die. I think Hemlock dies probably before the halfway mark of the episode. I'm gonna say like he tries to like pull the self-preservation move and give some information over, and they're like, "All right, cool, thanks," and then just like, "We're done with you."
So you think the Bad Batch kills him?
No, I think the Empire kills him. Like they get the information they need from him, and then they just like take
Oh,
him out.
gotcha. That's interesting. Yeah, I could also see him going out like Tarkin, just like as the base blows up, he's on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I think both of them are in the ground at this point. They neither of them have any hope.
Speaking of Tarkin, I'll actually make another prediction for Rampart that he gets oh God, what's his name? Dude from Rogue One, played by Ben Mendelsohn. What?
Critic?
Yeah, he gets the Krennic treatment where, like, Krennic gets like sniped by the Death Star. Rampart is gonna get a hail of turbo laser fire from a Star Destroyer to like mimic what he did to Kamino.
And it's Tarkin at the controls.
Tarkin or whoever, someone's like coming in to be like. Yeah, we're like shutting this down. We're gonna just like raise the mountain, and that's how he goes out.
Yeah, I could see it being Tarkin. I think that I've been saying that for a while because he doesn't like other people having pet projects that are not his. And Tantiss is not necessarily a threat to Death Star funding, although that was what his cameo was about, right? It was the funding.
Yeah, it was funding requests.
Yeah, so it kind of was. So yeah, he's not happy about this. And if any like whiff of failure, he's going to come and personally shut it down.
All right, that was the last question there. I think we're all pretty low on this, but I want to bring back one final time our tech survival meter predictions. I'm gonna say 15% that he's alive.
I'm like a 0.5 maybe. I'm like,
Yeah, it's pretty low.
I'm like, yeah, very, very low. I don't know. I just don't want it.
At this point, I don't want it either, but it hurts me to say that. I think I'm at like 6%.
I think these are all fair. I think it's very low.
I mean, I know we already discussed why, like, what needs to happen with the clones after this show, if there's a story for them. That's already going to be a hard thing to do, and to make room for now another clone would just be complicating things narratively. Like, okay, so he survives. Now that's one more person. Someone's going to have to eventually tell the story about what they do. I know they don't have to follow up on every clone, but still, like,
Right.
there's no good. The only reveal that makes sense is him being CX2, and at this point,
That would be likely. Yeah. All right. So we're now getting to our predictions for the series finale. The cavalry has arrived. Don't have to do too much more here. I'm curious what you all think the cavalry means in this circumstance. I had thought previously that like Rex and crew would come in. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I'm curious if it's just going to be like the Bad Batch is the cavalry.
I think so. I still think Rex and crew are going to show up, but I think it could be the Bad Batch. And I was listening to Star Wars Explained do their kind of finale predictions last weekend. So I'm going to steal some content from them. This isn't one of their predictions. It's something that is probably well known that I just never put the dots together. That is apparently Wrecker's first line in season 7 of the Clone Wars. He says the cavalry has arrived. So this is like a callback to a story that was originally written and recorded 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So that kind of recontextualized this whole thing. I have not actually gone back to watch that episode to fact check that. But according to Alex Damon, so if this is incorrect, go at him, not me.
Yeah. Yep.
but I think it could just be referring to the Bad Batch, which kind of the way the pieces are set up sort of makes sense.
Yeah, I think if we do get like a normal length episode, it's the Bad Batch. If we do get, you know, an hour plus episode, then I could maybe see it being Rex and crew. But
that's a really good point.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I think despite like 6 bullet points of questions, we kind of said like nothing's going to happen next episode. But that's because I think the only thing there's room for in 22 minutes is like a quick rescue of Omega. But the only thing that left for me is Rex, Wolf, and Gregor. That's the only box that hasn't been checked. And so that's why I think they're going to show up. There's going to be like a third clone show after this.
Yeah, I don't know that you could like do that justice while also still getting everything done you need to in this episode.
Yeah, I think you could at least have Wolf come back because maybe, you know, Tantus calls in reinforcements and maybe it's Wolf's
right
squadron or whatever. And so then there's a confrontation between all the brothers and Wolf lays his gun down. And that's all we see. We don't need to see how Gregor goes cuckoo. I would like to, but I don't. That feels like a lot.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, there could be a chance. Yeah, he either comes in and decides to lay his arms down, or he like already has a change of heart we don't see, and he brings Rex and everyone there somehow.
Yeah, I would be okay with that happening off screen. It'd be a little disappointing, but I don't think it would be.
I think we kind of. Yeah, we got enough to know where it would go, sort of. But anyways, any other final thoughts, predictions, clownery this one last time?
I guess we're going to clown. We've mentioned a few, but are there any cameos y'all think we could or just that you would like to see? I think Tarkin makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Wolf and Gregor Rex, I don't even think those count as cameos. A lot of people have been talking about the possibility of Vader. I don't know. Any thoughts?
I do think Tarkin makes sense. If there are any cameos like that, I feel like he's the most like viable candidate. Vader would be cool, but I don't know that they would like really dedicate screen time to that just since he hasn't been a part of the story at all.
It's also exactly how season 7 of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously Anakin was in that show a lot, but like,
yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that there's anyone new or special that we haven't already talked about that I can see coming back.
We haven't mentioned him this episode, but Thrawn, would be shocking.
It would.
But I think it kind of makes sense.
I think now that Tales of the Empire has been shown off, it's at least more probable than it was like a month ago.
Yeah, we know they have the model for him. Mm-hmm. We know that Lars was in the booth at some point.
Yeah. So. I don't think so, but maybe. We'll see.
I think it's unlikely.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's probably about it. A quick reminder, or for those who have not heard it before, we have, of course, the season finale next week. We are planning to do a live recording with the gang in Discord, so hop in there if you haven't already. That should be 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 1st of May. If you can't tune in for that, it'll be in your podcast feed as always. But it should be a fun time, and if you guys want to do like live questionnaires, we can do that as well. So hopefully, it should be fun.
And and keep a lookout. We'll post in Discord or probably Discord. It might be on Twitter. Going forward, both with that, and then going forward, we are planning on doing at least two episodes about Tales of the Empire, which comes out May 4th. We don't have time exactly on that, and then we will be right back
in white immediately. Yeah,
on June 5th probably is when we'll get to you, but June 4th is the release of the Acolyte.
June 6th for when it hits the podcast feed.
That's true. Anyway, sometime early June. We're not going anywhere is what I'm getting back. Emmy, I bet we'll have you back on. It's always a pleasure to have.
You get priority pick for coming on Acolyte since you did multiple episodes of this, so
I would love that.
As we said once, and this goes out to all of our faithful listeners, if you don't love us at our Bad Batch, you don't deserve us at our Acolyte.
Which
we appreciate everyone who's been sticking with us this whole season.
Which it should not be taken as we do not enjoy the Bad Batch. We've had a great time this season.
I would not have dedicated the past 12 weeks of Wednesday nights to talking about the Bad Batch if I wasn't a huge fan.
For sure. So, anyways, a lot of exciting stuff happening. Can't wait to see the finale of the show and everything that is coming up in the near future. One last reminder, this episode is brought to you by the Youtini Discord server. If you want to hop into that and see our last coverage of this season, go on to youtini.com/discord. But that'll do it for this week's episode of Bounty Hunt. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're looking for other great podcasts about Star Wars, nerd culture, and sports, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the Youtini Podcast Network. We'd also appreciate it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you're a proud member of the United on Patreon, thank you so much. An extra special thank you goes to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Raymond Bazinski on our High Council, and our captains James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Fife, and Chris Carrizo for all their amazing support. Head on over to Discord, where we're continuing the conversation about this week's episode in the channel SW The Bad Batch. And a huge shout out to our editor, Kyle, for his excellent work in getting us to your feed so quickly, and Wes for the Youtini Network support. Thanks as always to our fantastic listeners. That is it for us this week. May the Force be with you, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to the Bounty Hunt Podcast.
Yeah? Good.
To learn more about other Youtini Patreon exclusives, visit youtini.com.